Welcome back to this class on spiritual warfare. This is session 10, and we're continuing to know our enemy. The whole idea, you'll recall, is that if we can identify our enemy's tactics and strategies and get to know him as a person, we'll be much more better able to go to battle against him and recognize when he's battle against me. We'll be able to eventually, by the end of this course, be equipped to go to battle defensively when we feel under attack by Satan, but offensively as well, for we are to be involved in the offense against Satan as we're trying to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth, as we're trying to prepare the way for him to come again and establish once again the full kingdom of God as we want to know it, as we want to experience it. Bring in that not yet perfect shalom that God promised us. So we've been looking at various names as a way that the Bible identifies his strategy. Today we're going to do two names in this particular session. And what I want you to look at in these names are some things that are really places where I see the enemy at work, sometimes in my own life, but certainly in those around me. And so let's go and see what we can see here, all right? One of the names applied to the enemy is the accuser of the brothers and sisters. Here's where it occurs in Scripture, Revelation 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. Now, that idea of accuser, we see it in Scripture in Job chapter 1, right? And we've referred to that in an earlier lecture. When Job is the good man on earth, and one day, we don't know exactly how to understand that first and second chapter, but Satan appears before God in the assembly, and God asks him, where have you been? And he said, I've been wandering around the earth, to and fro in the earth. And God says, have you seen my righteous servant Job? And Satan slanders him. He's the devil, remember, and says, well, you know, of course he follows you and serves you and is righteous because you've protected him. If you take away his protections, he's going to crumble, right? So that's where we first see him in Scripture, in that role of accuser, it's wrong. But more often, he's accusing Job to God, but more often it happens that he accuses us to ourselves. The woman on the right side of this picture is my mother. She's been long in heaven, and I found this picture in my computer, and it's an important one. I'll just tell you a few things about my mother, and then share how she experienced the accuser. The woman on her right was named Nohad. Now, Nohad was a Palestinian Arab, and her husband had been a family that owned property in Jerusalem. And of course, when Israel took over in the 1940s, they were driven out. And so the husband was angry. They ended up immigrating to the United States, and they ended up moving across the street from my house. And I was about 18 years old at that time and still living with my parents. My mother had a gift of evangelism, and so she befriended people. She led people to the Lord. She amazing. And Nohad is one of them. You'll notice this is a graduation picture. My mother mentored her. She went to school and ended up getting a degree and ended up getting jobs as a result of that, and eventually separated from her very angry husband, etc. One of her children is there in the chair. But that, just to say the character of my mother, my mother was somebody who had eight children that lived. She had a couple of miscarriages as well. I'm seventh out of that eight. And, she had many, many gifts. First of all, she was such a woman of faith and prayer. I have memories of her praying and in a way that just humbled me to see her do that and to hear her pray. One time I was staying with her. I was a chair of a major board in Michigan while I was living in California. And so I flew to have meetings of that board for several days. And I would stay with my mom. And when I got up, after the meetings were all done and I slept in one morning, I got out of bed. And my mother was talking. And I thought, who is she talking to? I'm not clothed very well. So I went back into the bedroom where I was staying and got the clothes on and came out. And realized my mother was praying. She was just talking. She was doing dusting around and praying to God the whole time. And praying for each of us, her children and her 30-some grandchildren and then her great-grandchildren, just walking through each of those names. And this is the kind of woman she was. When she died, it was one of those times where we're talking, eight children. And so her great gift